AgriTalk is sponsored by Coron Metra. Manage fertility your way with Coron Metra from Helena, providing flexible in-season applications and maximum nutrient use efficiency. A rough end of last week turned into an even rougher start to this week. Now some critical levels of support on the charts have been breached and funds are still on the long side of corn and soybeans. Now we're just trying to figure out the flight plan of the snowball that is picking up downhill momentum.
Live from Flag Day afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Mark Rempe of Quad Commodities. Later, Kerry Artek from Artek Advisory. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Well, that was a generally ugly start to the week right there, Davis. Wow.
I was hoping maybe we wouldn't have to talk about it.
No, kind of what we do here in the second hour is talk about markets.
I was afraid you would remember.
I'm glad that you remembered that it's Flag Day.
Yes, it is Flag Day. It is Flag
Day. That's right. So,
also, the Army's birthday. Happy birthday.
Right.
The Army.
Yep. Donald J. Trump's birthday and Bailey Flory, my daughter-in-law's birthday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of red, white, blueing going on today.
Oh,
no,
baby.
No doubt about it. No doubt. So a little bit of rain, little bit of uncertainty with the possibility, maybe a bias towards some cooler, not cool, and wetter, not wet weather in the forecast. And all of a sudden, the buyers just ran for the exits. Some of the funds that were on the long side of this market had to have decided now is the time to get the heck out. And as a result of all of that, we've gone through some support levels. We'll be talking to Mark Rempe about that coming up here in just a little bit. I've got some hog issues, hog industry issues that I want to talk with Mark about. He's Mahaska County Pork down there in Mahaska County, and he does a lot of conversations with clients and talking about risk management, not only on the short side of the market, in other words, for grain producers, but what about feed buying? Are we seeing an opportunity to get loaded up on some feed if you're a livestock producer in here, or is it way, way, way too early for that, and we need to see this downside momentum play out before making any moves there? So,
Good questions.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's get to what you got in the news.
Well, Chip, rains in the northern plains continued to weigh on spring wheat futures, also limiting buying interest in winter wheat futures. Wheat export inspections in the weekend of June 10 totaled 480,000 metric tons. That was at the top end of trade expectations. July soft red winter wheat futures slipped through support at last week's low, but did recover to close back above Friday's low. Chart watchers are looking for support in front month SRW at the May low of 639.5. July HRW wheat one dime lower, 628. July soft red down 6.25, 674.5. September spring wheat closed at 654, down 17.25 cents on the day.
Yeah, that spring wheat market really took a hit, 754, along with most corn contracts and most soybean contracts. That September spring wheat contract in the wheat complex is probably showing the greatest weakness right now, and it's only because it pushed so hard, so fast to the upside that now that we are getting that setback, we're ticking off those support levels pretty quick.
Weekend rains in the Western Corn Belt, very good growing in the Eastern Corn Belt, along with the forecast calling for some cooler temperatures and more frequent, although scattered rains in the middle of the belt, were all noted as a source of pressure on corn prices today. Traders will be looking to this afternoon's crop progress report and its update to corn crop conditions for direction. Corn export inspections last week topped 1.54 million metric tons. That was a solid week of loadings, but it was at the low end of trade expectations. Yeah. December corn futures opened lower but near session highs, then fell through support at the bottom of the June 7 upside price gap. The low range close keeps new crop corn pointed to support near 550. July corn futures 25 and one quarter lower, 659 and a quarter. September corn plunged 31 and one quarter, 598 and a half. December corn closed at 581 and one half, down 28 and one half cents. I would remind 30 cents is the new nickel. I'm sticking with that. Chip.
Okay. That D's corn market made such a quick move from 550 to $6 that once we got below $6, there's just not a lot of support until we get back to 550.
July soybean futures fell through and closed below support at last month's low around the $15 level. Chart watchers have identified a head and shoulders top in July futures, which projects old crop futures to the bottom of the 7-week long sideways trading range that was in place from late February to early April. Export inspections of soybeans in the weekend of June 10 totaled just 128,000 metric tons, well below the low end of trade expectations. July bean futures 36 and a quarter cents lower, 1472 and a quarter. August beans dropped 41 and one quarter to 1441 and one quarter. November bean futures closed at 1395 and a quarter, down 43 and a half. Chip.
Yeah. Not only is it a renewed interest in selling because of what is perceived as improved growing conditions, but it's also a lack of buying interest in that market right now. And we've talked about that for soybeans, how it is an issue that market is having to deal with right now. Hey, let's bring in Jack Scoville, Davis, and
bring him.
Get some perspective on what's going on in the markets. Jack, how you doing this week?
I've been better.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
What?
I just said, yeah, I hear you. What do you make of this, the corn and soybean markets? I mean, we're ticking off the support levels pretty quickly now.
Well, it's been a massive fund dump. That's one thing to keep in mind. The funds, which really hadn't increased their long position on the way up, all of a sudden are taking the opportunity to sell. And we did turn the trends down on the daily charts here Friday in the beans and just today in the corn. We are taking out a lot of support areas. We've got some swing targets just below the mark, just below today's lows for the beans and the corn. So there is some ideas, or at least some ideas on my part, that we've got some limited downside potential from here on out. Plus, when I look at the charts, we are getting into some rather important support areas with today's lows. So that should help as well. But okay. Boy, it's been a tremendous, it was just wild to the upside, and now it's being back wild to the downside, but I don't think it's going to last real long.
Okay. Yeah, the markets are acting like we've removed a lot of uncertainty and put some certainty onto the production side of this thing. It almost like they're erasing some yield risk right now. Is that how you feel, Jack?
Yeah, I do, and I don't think that's warranted. I think that, you know, things are looking good for the next couple of weeks, but, man, and you know, the rains got to materialize. The rains that are being forecast for the next week to 2 weeks have to show up. You know, the cool temperatures that are forecast are definitely going to help, but we really need, you know, the crops are, or the common refrain that I'm hearing is the crops are looking good, but, boy, they really need a drink. And that drink better show up. Otherwise, we're gonna be right back in the same problem we were last week.
Yep, that's right. All right, buddy. Hey, appreciate you very much, Jack. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Be around.
That's Jack. You bet. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, we are going to have a conversation with Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities. He's down in Oskaloosa, Iowa. We'll get an update on crop conditions, find out what's going on in hogs, and talk risk management with Mark next.
When it comes to Total Farm Solutions, AGI has you covered. AGI offers complete systems and solutions with industry-leading products to meet your needs. From Westeel and MFS storage bins to Nico dryers, Westfield augers, Batco conveyors, Hutchinson grain loops, to SureTrack for seed selection, planning, grain management, and marketing. AGI has the solution for you. Visit aggrowth.com for more information.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. glad that you could join us this afternoon. I'm Chip Flory, got Davis Michelson with me. We're setting up for a conversation with Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities. Before we get there, Davis, let's go ahead and finish up the news.
Dude, the bottom fell out from under cotton futures with December futures trading limit down before recovering about half of those losses by the close. July cotton, 205 lower, 84.95. December cotton dropped 179 points, 86.13 at the close. On the livestock side, sharp losses in corn prices lifted feeder cattle futures, which, in turn, lifted live cattle prices. August live cattle, $1.25 higher, 121.27.5. October cattle gained 102.5, 126.80. August feeders up $3, 42.5 cents to 154.60. And on the snout side, July lean hog futures have posted 5 consecutive lower closes. The contract is now in position to test support at the June low, 117.20. July lean hogs $1.75 lower today, 118.22.5. August hogs, doggone it, 217.5 lower, 114.80. Chip Flory.
Well, you know what they say, when we get into a persistent downtrend in a market, every day is one day closer to the bottom in that market. Let's find out how close Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities thinks we are to the low. Mark, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Chip. Glad to talk
good.
To you.
All right, man. So how was last week down in Des Moines at the expo?
Well, you know, it was really hot. So that was, we usually have one hot day and then usually have a storm come through, but that didn't happen this year. But since we haven't gotten together for 2 years, we've had 2 years canceled, so everybody was glad to see each other. But you could tell everybody was on edge because they don't know what the grain prices are going to do, don't know what the availability is going to do. Hogs are high now. How high can we get before we choke off some demand? So it's not like anybody was sitting around comfortable. Everybody was definitely on edge. So
yep. And plenty of industry issues to deal with. Top of mind, we've been talking about it a lot here on AgriTalk. Talked with Senator Grassley about it this morning, is that federal court ruling that is going to slow down line speeds at some of the plants, take some slaughter capacity out of the industry. Nobody needs that, Mark. We don't need to reduce our shackle space.
No, I think it's some old and probably Grass could tell you more, but it's the rules were from way back when. I've heard back as far as the Clinton administration.
It was. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they've been in place for – the faster line speeds have been in place for 20 years, and all of a sudden they decided that even though they don't have the data to back it up, they are deciding that, well, that faster line speed isn't as safe as the slower line speed, so we're going to slow things down. But the data isn't there to back it up. This is just really weird to me, this one is, Mark. I'm sure that everybody was scratching their head over it down in Des Moines.
Yeah, it is very weird. We've even heard the opposite, that the faster ones have a better safety record than slower ones. So I still have confidence that we're going to get, between the pork board and everything and USDA, that hopefully they'll get this resolved before the end of the month and it becomes a non-issue. But you're right. The last thing we need to do is take existing facilities and lose 2.5% of our capacity with existing stuff. And then also then they're talking more overtime and stuff for the same guys to the same amount of work.
Yeah.
So you're losing the efficiency, and it's just one of those crazy things you run into with government. So, it is concerning.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing is, we all know that there is such a fine balance between the amount of hogs coming in, the amount of pork coming out, and the amount of demand that's in the marketplace. But everything seems to be really nicely balanced right now, Mark, so that fair to finish guys are making some money. The packers are making some money. It feels like an industry that's, I don't want to say comfortable, but it's in a good spot right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the key is the cutout. You know, the cutout has been really good. Now it sold off a little Thursday, over a dollar on Friday, and the noon today was down. So you really got to keep an eye on the cutout, and I think that's the key to everything. But yeah, it is it feels kind of right-sized, which it hasn't been for many years.
For many years. That's right. Okay. So we've got some, I would call them, awfully attractive prices in the nearby contracts. Gets a little less attractive out to the fall months. What is the conversation about risk management and hogs sound like with your clients right now, Mark?
Well, I was a little more aggressive to sell some decent Feb in April until I got to the expo and heard about this nasty wave of it's
PERS.
A variation of the 144 PERS. Yep. In that key area of very good producers, northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, and it hit them in May, and it hit so hard in some cases that these some sows have lost up to half their sows. Typically, you don't lose many sows from PERS, just the pigs. So
Then
you're sitting there, and you own this facility, and you've only got half an engine, and so you got to get replacement gilts, bring them in, and acclimate them, and then button everything up and start the process over. So my idea of the supply side for these Feb and Ape changed in a matter of hours. And now today the deferreds were down, but the deferreds were on a nice uptrend up until a couple of days ago. So I'm still watching it, still thinking about adding more coverage. But that kind of stuff that you hear at a gathering like that, you know, that's not on mainstream media. You're talking owners and veterinarians, and
right,
and you hear about it later on, but I had no idea that it was going on.
You see, Mark, here's the problem with information like that. It doesn't have a market impact until it's confirmed. We continue to hear about it, and it won't react until it confirms. And the problem is, when do we confirm something like that? When the slaughter comes in lower than what it should have been at that time. So it's one of those factors that, well, more people know about it now, but I don't know how you get enough people to know about it and to respect it and to factor it into prices. It feels like it's going to be a ways out. Now, maybe we get something in the Hogs and Pigs report. Maybe that's a possibility. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And it probably won't show up in the Hog and Pig report. What will show up from there will be probably the problems that happened last winter that we kind of know about now. I doubt these new problems will show up yet. So there's a couple different angles you could do on the sell side. You can just do a certain percentage using futures, and they are good prices, especially if you can get your corn wrapped up, and you almost have to get your corn tied up if you're going to hedge anything. The only other option is, if you stay about $8 or $9 below the board on all those months, if you don't want to spend too much money, if you want to be able to sleep at night, you're going to spend about $3 on those puts.
Yeah.
And granted, you're not protected near as good a price as the board is, but it's something just in case something washes out. So,
on the
sell side, that's kind of your two angles to take. I mean, you can't just sit around and do nothing at those prices. We touched or got close to 90 in December hogs, and I've seen them half that price before, not too long ago. So, you got to do something.
That's exactly right. I'm not going to argue with you at all on that. And you did say if you can get the corn wrapped up. So it sounds like, knowing you, Mark, you might have been saying that for a while ago because you do want to manage both sides of the risk at the same time, right?
Definitely. Yeah, you got to do all three legs. And the cool thing is, I'm just looking at the soybean meal board. Soybean meal, they were scaring us and thinking there's going to be $600 or $800 here this summer, and that never developed. But you've got a market that's so flat, you can go all the way to next summer at 376 or March at 378. And that's, it's not the old 280 low we used to have, but that's one where you could sew all that up on the board now and just get it done. But you're going to have to get your corn covered, too, if you're going to hedge with futures.
Right.
and you're going to have futures. That probably,
yeah, and that's going to be a little intimidating to some of the guys. I mean, you look out to the May contract even. I'm looking way deferred out. You still got 590 corn out there, Mark. Do you go that far out, or do you stay more up front on feed coverage?
It feels better to be more up front, but you still may have to use the board. We probably, if you were hedging something in April, maybe or may not, June. Futures for a while there, I thought maybe they were on their way to 100, but they've really cooled off too. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. We're talking with Mark Grimpy, Quad Commodities out of Oskaloosa, Iowa. When we come back, I want to continue the conversation about what's going on in these grain markets, the amount of volatility. Mark's been doing this a while. I've been doing this a while. The volatility is something that is like I've never seen before. How do you manage it?
For a farmer, every day is different, and every season tells its own story. Make this the year you do it your way. Coron Metra is a foliar fertilizer that lets you decide when the time is right for nutrition. Metra gives you flexibility, it gives your tank efficiency, and Metra gives your crop more than just nitrogen. Coron Metra, the next evolution in crop nutrition. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration before use.
Time now for headlines ripped from Pro Farmers. First thing today, just erratic rains expected for the Northern Plains and Midwest over the next 2 weeks. Extreme drought conditions in the West are more widespread than at any point in the last 20 years. President Joe Biden continues his European travels after the G7 confab, scheduled to meet with Vladimir Putin day after tomorrow. That G7 summit ended with a critique of the Chinese and Russian governments. The Cass Freight Index jumped 7.7% from April to May, moved ahead of pre-pandemic levels for the first time. JBS CEO got a congressional letter regarding the $11 million ransom paid to hackers. A new law bumps Nevada ahead of Iowa and New Hampshire in presidential contest line for 2024. And Texas Governor Abbott said the state will build a border wall with Mexico. Get headlines just like these before the day's open at tryprofarmer.com today.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. We're having a conversation with Mark Grimpy, Quad Commodities out of Oskaloosa. Before we get back to Mark, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat, one dime lower today, 628. September spring wheat closed at 754, down 17 and one quarter cents. But it doesn't stop there. July corn futures, 25 and a quarter lower, 659 and a quarter. December corn closed at 581 and a half, down 28 and a half cents. July bean futures, not to be outdone, 36 and one quarter cents lower, 1472 and a quarter. Novi beans closed at 13.95 and a quarter, down 43 and one half cents. July cotton 205 points lower, 84.95. August live cattle were $1.25 higher, 121.27 and one half. August feeders up $3, 42 and a half, 154.60. And August lean hogs 217 and one half lower on the day, 114.80. That is your quick market recap. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Mark Grimpy, Quad Commodities, Oskaloosa, Iowa, is our guest today. We talked a lot about the hog market in the last segment and what's going on in the industry. Mark, you following the live cattle trade at all?
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to be friendly to it. It's been a tough go, but maybe we're finally turning the corner there. It's starting to feel better at least.
Okay. So, I shouldn't say obviously. It looks like corn is the driving factor in the feeder cattle market, feeder cattle helped out the live cattle today. But at the baseline of all of this, that strength wouldn't be happening in the live cattle if it wasn't for what's happening in the box beef trade, right?
I think you're right about that. The other thing you got to be a little careful is, you know, the Augie's sitting here at 121, the next Feb's at 134. So you got so much carry built in there that mm-hmm. if you're going to do any hedging out there, you just want to buy puts because they'll still work well if we lose that carry. But if it turns out to be the big market you're thinking it could and you put another $30 on, at least you'll be there for it.
Right. Yeah. Great point. Great point. I like that a lot. If you're feeder, you're covering your corn needs are you going to lay the risk? Do you do that when you're using puts in the strategy to cover your downside risk in the cattle? Do you go ahead and cover your corn right away too?
You know, you should. We think that out west there's way more wheat being fed than the USDA's caught on to yet. So at some point, that's going to help out the wheat market, and it's going to form a bottom. But you really need to do both legs there.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. So if we're going to be feeding more wheat or are feeding more wheat, is that part of the pressure on this corn market, or is it all just weather?
You know, it's a lot of weather, but none of your guys have talked about it. It's actually the top story I had this morning, and that's coming out Thursday afternoon or Friday with the Biden administration talking of, you know, being pressured by labor unions and senators, even from the home state of Delaware, about maybe changing some biofuel blending mandates.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that came out Thursday afternoon or Friday morning, but it just decimated the bean oil market. So yeah. I thought it was more of a biodiesel issue, which the bio issue for diesel bio is really starting to pick up and be really interesting.
Yeah.
But then from the comments today, it came from three different sources within the administration. Seems crazy because the president's not even in the country. But so today it even talks about the corn market. So I think it was that.
Yeah.
But nobody's talking about it. But then weather, and I don't know. You know, I'm not seeing all that much rain on the stuff I'm looking at, but between the two, I mean, if you would start to screw around with the mandate, then everything changes.
Gotcha. You know, I talked about that this morning on the first hour of AgriTalk with Grassley Mark, and he's, needless to say, he is not really excited about this plan. And basically, what he said was if a Biden administration EPA does this, it's going to be really difficult to support them in other environmental climate change issues. If you're just going to say, listen, carbon or ethanol can help in our carbon reduction and a push to net zero, but you're going to make it more difficult to use it and promote it and everything else, doesn't make any sense. Well, like you said, I mean, there's that one small refiner there in Delaware that is twisting some arms of senators, and all of a sudden it looks like it is an issue that we're going to have to deal with. I can't imagine that Tom Vilsack over at USDA would let that happen without a fight. He would at least pick up the phone and have a conversation with the EPA Administrator Regan and say, what are you doing? You're killing me over here. So hopefully that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. But the big part of my point is it just shows you how fickle these markets are. When you're trading at high prices, you got a lot of fund activity, big fund open interest, and just a sniff of something to throw a wrench in the program, and here you are, you know, you're just
right
almost limit down in corn last night.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good point. How is crops looking down your way?
You know, we had a really nice spring. Everything went in great, very very easy, And the corn that's a little bit older and rooting down is looking pretty good. And some of the beans are coming along. Most, I'd say at least half the people around here spotted in a few beans here and there, not whole fields, but had a little germination problem. So people have been spotting in the last week or two. Okay. But, you know, they're hanging in there pretty good. But okay. Like everybody west of the Mississippi, we'd all like to see some rain soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said to Jack, it feels like the markets have removed a lot of production uncertainty when they and are building in some certainty that everything's going to be okay. And it just it feels awful premature for that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's way too early for that, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So one of your customers calls you up. You sit down. He wants to do some risk management on 2021 crop corn and soybeans. What's that conversation sound like?
Well, we always start out with what the person's objectives are and if he likes to use futures or cash sales or options. And you really have to stick to that whole card because you get days like today and it's going to shake you, you know. Mm-hmm. And probably, in these volatile times, you maybe steer people a little bit more towards options. They're expensive, but they're expensive for a reason. And I've seen people buy puts and calls here in the last 40, 60 days for a nickel, and they were at 35 cents, and everybody else has too, and 35 cents at a day. So it's not like they don't move like the last 7 years. So the other thing is, let's say that you call me up and you want to be long D's corn. Well, you might want to be long D's corn and buy a put, because if you use a stop, you're just going to get chewed up. And that's what will hang there. And we go right back down that old $5 low, and you got a 540 put. At least you've got that. Mm-hmm. And same token, if you've got corn out in the field, same thing. You know, buy a 540 put. You know, buy a $13 or $14 November bean put if you don't dare sell cash or futures. But do something, because – you know, I've been around this since 1981, and you usually get about one or two chances each decade to do something really good, and here's your chance, and and you just can't let that slip away if we do start getting some rains. But if we don't get rains, then it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, yeah. And part of the reason that we've got the opportunity that we do is because the input costs were still relatively under control when they were purchased for this 2021 crop. But man, that is changing for 22, isn't it?
Yeah, everywhere you look, you just hear it. I haven't heard any too many specifics, but you're hearing everything's going to be higher. They're just prepping us so we all know we don't get sticker shock for the next year's input. So definitely.
Yeah. 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 So with that in mind, I feel like I need to go out and look at some 22 crop opportunities, but until you know exactly what your price, what your inputs are going to cost you, it's a little hard to go out and do anything, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think you still need to do some.
Okay.
Know, your biggest variable is always yield anyway. So, you got to sniff around out there and get a little bit of that stuff locked up, because it's a huge opportunity. And, you know, there's so many factors here that I think doing some is a good idea.
Okay. You know, I mean, I know it, and every time I run the numbers, it proves it again. But when you say it, you got to write it down. Biggest variable is always yield, and that's that's so spot on. It shouldn't. The fact that you don't know exactly what your inputs are shouldn't stop you from doing something. It should make you a little hesitant, and it's do something, don't get crazy, but you should still be looking at doing something. That's a great point. Great point. Man, it's always good to talk with you, Mark. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
You bet. It's always great to talk to Mark. All right, Mark Rempe. Quad Commodities, Oskaloosa, Iowa. Check him out. The guy, when you get him on the phone and talk to him, like he will talk to you on the phone just like we talked right there on the air. There's no doubt about it. All right, when we come back, we're going to get an update on the charts. Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory, right here on AgriTalk.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Clear the path to carrier attack. He's coming through.
10-4, good buddy.
I'm not gonna do the CB talk, but I will participate with you.
Why not?
At least that far.
A lot of fun, and the people really seem to turn up and
if you had a handle, what would it be?
Oh, well, it would be the handsome newsman, of course.
The handsome newsman, jeez. Oh man, love it, love it. All right, welcome back. I'm Chip. That is the handsome newsman, and this is Agri Talk. Let's bring him in, Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Love it that you're here. We got to get going because there is some ground to cover here. We're going to do two contracts of corn. What you got?
July and D. It's going to start with July because July is front and center on those long-term weekly continuation charts where I find trend-defining studies that I think sort of determine the dynamic for the entire corn complex. And so starting with July, we closed 658 and three quarter today. Another 30 cents plus south here, we find a significant floor of support at 624 and three quarter this week. It's an ascending trend-defining speed line projected off the April 2020 COVID low, as I call it. As long as we continue placing weekly settlements above 624 and three quarter, this market can regain its upward steam, so to speak, and actually reach that long-term target that still remains in effect way above the market at 834 and a quarter. So that's still kind of a 3 to 5 month reality. Above 624 and three quarter. There are some meaningful upside continuation points on the way, but for all intents and purposes, holding above 624 and three quarter allows 834 and a quarter into autumn trade. On the other hand, closing below 624 and three quarter at the end of this week, and this line is rising weekly, would indicate a good annual high. I was saying summer high a few weeks ago, but I think annual now, because over the following 3 to 5 months, if we close below 624 and three quarter, I'm then anticipating 464 and three quarter, which is a long-term floor of support where we could bottom out through next year. Now, as it pertains to the December contract, new crop, I am merely translating that over to 624 and three quarter July contract. So as of today's settlement, 624 and three quarter July is 546 and three quarter December contract. And so I'm just going with that weekly chart downward pivot point. If we close July contract Friday below 624 and three quarter, I think it'll drag the entire complex south with it. And I would anticipate that DEES 21 contract to then test that 464 and three quarter, because by that point in time, it will be front center on that long-term chart and will approach that long-term support level. Okay. On to July soybeans. You know, we had a 1654 area target for months, which we tested about a month ago, 1654 and a quarter long-term ceiling, well above the market now. We've been backing off of it ever since. And big picture, I've been mentioning that I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year, this market continued all the way back into the 1130s, but we don't have an indication of that unless we close below 1403 half. So I kind of break it down between midterm and long-term. Midterm, we should test 1403 half over the next week or two, which is another trend-defining speed line on the weekly chart that can absorb selling through summer, really, or into July expiration. And once we test 1403 half, this market could muster a rally over the following month or two back to that 1654 and a quarter area. And we could trade inside that zone for several months. But closing below 1403 half at the end of any week, rising weekly, wouldn't surprise me given the gravity of that 1654 and a quarter ceiling. And if we close below 1403 half any of these weeks, rising weekly, 1131 and a quarter, here we come within about 3 to 5 months where we could bottom out through the rest of the year. And finally, got to mention feeder cattle August contract. Okay. We are presently testing a long-term ceiling, 153.87. We closed above it today. If we close Friday, the week above 153.87 by the 1% margin I like to see, in other words, 155.32 or higher on Friday, we have a long-term buy signal in the broader feeder cattle market. I would anticipate the 179 handle within about 3 to 5 months, and we could, by this time next year, reach all the way up into the 220s. But until then, if we continue placing weekly settlements at or below 153.87, this market can fall south into the low 140s within about 3 to 5 weeks, and possibly down to 122 even as we continue into autumn trade. And that's about all I got, Chip, for you.
All right. Good work, Kerry. Hey, go to RTAC, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. At the top of the page is a link to AgriTalk. And from there, you can get more explanation of what we were just talking about from Kerry. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chip. See you then.
You bet. You bet. All right. Davis, National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook for June 20th through the 24th has below normal temperatures for the entire Corn Belt.
All right. Yeah.
For the entire Corn Belt. From North Dakota, Montana border down to the heel of Louisiana and Mississippi, we've got below normal temperatures expected. Above normal precipitation for eastern Minnesota, all of Iowa, eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas, Oklahoma, and points to the east of that line. When we get out to the far western belt and northwest production areas, normal precip expected through central Nebraska, eastern South Dakota. You get all of North Dakota when we start talking about the possibility of below normal precipitation at that time. In the 8 to 14 day, this is for June 22nd through the 28th. Most of the Corn Belt is still looking at below normal temperatures. It's a swipe right down the middle of the country is what we're looking at. And North Dakota, eastern South Dakota, over to Indiana, and down into Mississippi is where we're looking at below normal temperatures expected. And on the precip side of things, above normal precipitation, normal to above normal across the entire belt. So there it is. That's the cooler outlook. That's the wetter outlook that has been putting some pressure on the market today. No question about that. Hey, for Davis and producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thank you so much for listening today. Tomorrow morning, Ethan Lane from NCBA will be on to talk about a bunch of beef issues that we've got to get settled. Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association. And tomorrow afternoon, Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing, here on AgriTalk.